So everyone's got principles they live by, right? But which are negotiable and which should never be compromised? Is everything black and white in life? Or are there some gray areas? We all know there are areas in life where compromise is not only okay, but necessary for healthy relationships. For example, marriage, career. I've been married for 2 years, so I'm learning all about healthy compromise. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. So, however, the truth is, in regards to doctrine specifically, whenever Christians compromise their godly principles, they walk dangerously close to a slippery slope. The story of King Solomon, for example, reveals the terrible consequences of the perils of compromise. God wanted Solomon to live according to his statutes, and he would be blessed. Somehow Solomon walked away or drifted away from God one little step at a time. Eventually, Solomon found himself in a kind of a financial alliance with the surrounding countries. For example, Egypt buying chariots and horses and cedars. And he ended up marrying Pharaoh's daughter and many others. It wasn't long before King Solomon was worshiping pagan gods, or at least associating. And the result was that when he was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and he was not wholly devoted to the Lord, his God. That's referenced in 1 Kings 11:4. Consequently, the nation of Israel became weaker until it was torn apart. So we all have something we've compromised, maybe in a proper way or improper. A new workout plan, maybe a new diet. I generally try to stay away from ice cream, for example. I don't process sugar very well. Doctor's orders, my wife's orders. Because if I have just one bite, you know, I might eat the whole container, especially at midnight. I used to get up when she was asleep and eat a whole half gallon. But, you know, it all starts with the first bite. So my solution is not to buy it. But on a serious note, Satan's deadliest attacks are usually subtle. The deceptive power of compromise is among the greatest threats to any disciple. So, again, my question number one is all compromise wrong? Well, there are all types, and I'm not really focusing too much today on the relational compromise. Again, it could be beneficial when it promotes cooperation without sacrificing moral values. This would fall under the definition of settling a dispute by mutual concession. For example, putting aside personal desires to be part of a team, whether it be for sports or business or marriage or family or even a church. Sometimes you have to compromise your own personal ideas or your own resources and time for the greater good of the group. So not all compromise is wrong. Number two, the first step towards spiritual compromise is the most dangerous. When you take one step in the wrong direction, a direction that is unwise, it can lead to ungodly actions and ultimately destruction. Of course, the enemy's lie to you is a little bit of, that's not going to hurt you. You can handle it. However, every time you step across the line, what happens? You weaken and you erode your conscience until it gets easier and easier to compromise. Growing up, I always thought, what happened with Solomon? How could he have lost his relationship with God after all he saw and after all he was given? Well, it was a gradual process that happened one day at a time, one compromise at a time. Number three, the nature of compromise. You know, compromise lends way to more compromise. Romans 1:28, you all know the scripture, Romans 1:28 reads, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." In other words, the more you put God out of your life, and you compromise his values, his principles, the more he's going to let you go, eventually. Ultimately, those who let go of God's principles find themselves completely out of touch with their former life. Have you ever seen an example of this? I know I've known people in the church over the years that sort of kind of lost touch, or you meet up with them again 10 years later, and they've totally forgotten about the Sabbath, totally forget that you keep it. They're keeping Christmas, but they don't even it doesn't even register. It's like their mind has been given over to the mind of the world, a reprobate mind. And so that's because, as Romans 1:28 says, if and even as they do not like to retain God in their knowledge, you have to retain him in your knowledge or be taken over by the world's ideas. But it doesn't happen overnight. You know, those people didn't go to bed one Friday night and wake up Saturday and just forget that the Sabbath existed, the great blessing that it is. It happened one day at a time over many years, typically. Concessions usually begin in small and significant ways, so it's easy to understand their potential for damage. Compromise isn't usually a huge act of disobedience. More often it starts as a minor slip in your thinking or behavior towards God. The slope becomes slippery, and each subsequent act of disobedience is easier to rationalize. Every little accommodation weakens your conscience and makes it more difficult to reverse the downhill trend. Conceding in one area can open you up to giving in elsewhere. And compromise typically leads ultimately to defeat. So point number four would be the consequences of compromise. Again, character is eroded one compromise at a time. I would reference Proverbs 25:26. Proverbs 25:26 reads, "If the godly compromise with the wicked, it is like polluting a fountain or muddying a spring." I once heard the analogy: if you're out gardening with, you know, white gloves, and you go dig in the dirt, the white gloves are going to get dirty. The dirt's not going to get glovey. You know, it's. I'm a landscaper, so I thought that was kind of funny. I'm glad you do too. It'd be awkward if you didn't. So, you know, lowering your standards weakens your character and inhibits your ability to set a good example for others. And it hinders your prayer life as well. Compromise will also corrupt your thinking. While you may believe you're making accommodations in just one area, every aspect of your life will ultimately be affected. People tend to think they can compartmentalize, but it's not true when it comes to God. For example, if our honesty has been breached in some form, it's easy to stop upholding the truth elsewhere. So if you've compromised on a principle that should have been non-negotiable, you may cease to think in terms of right and wrong or black and white. Everything gets gray. And there are some gray areas in life, of course, but there are areas that are black and white. They need to stay black and white, doctrinally, specifically. You know, you can easily grow defensive about concessions you've made in your faith and in your behavior. So you start to expect everyone to be tolerant of your errors. Finally, you distance yourself from the Lord, become more and more out of sync with God, His Word, and the sustaining principles that define a healthy and happy life. It's a process that happens. And you eventually become unstable and in your ways and head down this path. So habitual compromise eventually leads to destruction of one's character and potentially even one's physical life as well. Number five, the characteristics of a non-compromiser. Characteristics of a non-compromiser. What characterizes the Christian who stands firm? So the committed believer has strong convictions about the Bible and sturdy faith in God's promises. When misunderstood or persecuted, he has the courage to remain steadfast and secure in his relationship with the Lord. His discerning spirit helps him to discern what is right from what is unacceptable. The non-compromiser has a clear sense of direction in life and is governed by principle rather than personal preference or emotions. Today, it's all about emotions. Follow your heart, you know, whatever that leads you to do. That's the popular pop culture. So the non-compromiser would shun compromise because he's motivated by the approval of God rather than the approval of his peers or his co-workers or colleagues or friends. So number six, how do we avoid compromise? Well, it's simple. Make God's word your standard of conduct. Never compromise your doctrine specifically. Avoid that at all costs. From there, it becomes easier to compromise on issues such as morality and conduct. So make God's word your standard for every area of your life. Begin every day on your knees. When you begin the day before God in prayer and meditate on his word, you dedicate the day to him. Have you ever had a day where nothing seemed to go smoothly and you wished you could just go back home, crawl back in bed and start all over and maybe get down on your knees and pray about it and do a little more study to better prepare yourself? I know I have. And it doesn't necessarily mean things will go smoothly, but it does help you prepare mentally and spiritually to take on the challenges of the day. So in conclusion, you know, one tiny concession may appear insignificant, but we know the slightest step in the wrong direction can send you sliding towards a cliff and ultimately off of it. We drift from God one step at a time, but compromising godly principles is no small matter. It's a spiritual undertow that can pull you farther and farther from shore until you're kind of in over your head and too weak to fight. If you've ever been caught in an undertow, it's not fun. Holding firm to God's truth can require tremendous resolution. All followers of Christ will be called up sooner or later to stand for their beliefs or fall for the enemy's deceptions. And God wants genuine peace, joy, and contentment to replace all the enslavement, frustration, anxiety that go along with this lost and foolish world. That's why when you refuse to compromise and choose Christ, you're sure to ultimately experience victory in your life.